Jeannie Clavel's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Clavel, and today is, January 29th, 2021, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined today by Vice President of Information Sales and Service, and that's Nicole Thomas. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Michael. How's it going?
Oh, it's very good. It's been a week. It's we got rain out here in California.
Good.
And you know, I'm not used to that. I grew up in Washington, as you know, so I'm kind of happy about it all.
Yeah. You're not used to rain in January.
No, not in California.
I think you're just not used to rain at all.
Yeah, you're right. Just fires and destruction or whatever else happens out here.
But, right.
Yeah. So I was thinking, what do you want to talk about today? I'll try to put it on a tee for you. I'm not sure this will work, but
okay.
Something that relates to Chris Wondolowski and the World Cup
soccer.
And that kick against Belgium. And what was really important there?
Let me guess.
Yeah.
Well, I'll do it this way.
It's a one word. It's one word.
I know. Because my dad has always, and really still does, say timing is everything.
You're right.
Yeah.
He did not have the right timing and he missed the goal.
Oh. And well, that's a great lead in.
Yeah,
I thought this was going to be a victorious story.
No.
Bad timing.
A very very bad timing story. Very hurtful for Chris Wondolowski, but he recovered.
We'll see if timing allows for recovery of some other things related to the market.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about timing today.
Yes. So what... True for various aspects of life. My fellow women will all probably agree, if you're looking to get married, timing is everything.
Sure.
People make the argument back and forth. Want to have kids, timing is everything. Looking for a new job, timing is everything. And anybody in the markets knows that timing is everything. In the current market for corn, soybeans, even wheat. It all comes down to timing. In terms of those current influences on the market, none rival South America. We're going to talk a lot about that today.
Okay.
But it's a timing question.
Yes.
And, I see three elements or three pieces of as it relates to timing that we need to be mindful of here. You want to hear my first one?
Yes, lay it on me.
It's obvious. The first one's obvious. You're growing grain. What is the most important element in terms of timing for growing grain?
Well, I'm going to go weather.
Rain.
Yeah.
Timing of the rain. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And it seems that's all we've been hearing and talking about over the last 3 months is rain. Mm-hmm. And up to now, that's really been all about the weather in South America. Consistent rain is there now, but it came late and probably a little too late for the first season Brazilian corn crop and early planted soybeans in both Brazil and Argentina. Maybe some of the later planted soybeans. We'll see how that goes. And we need good rain in February. So we need this to continue with soil moisture as low as it is, particularly in Mato Grosso. Which is the major production region in Brazil for the safrinha crop, the mid-season crop. And we need that above, or at least consistent. I don't know if I want to say above average, but consistent rain through April and May to get a good corn crop there. And under normal conditions, those aren't months known for a lot of rain. Mm. Kind of reminds you of your California situation there, sir.
Rain dance. We need a rain dance.
There you go. And very soon here, and arguably already happening, will be the discussion about rain in the U.S. And it has been a dry and warmer than usual winter. Now, I am sure folks, looking at more than a foot of snow in Nebraska right now. And the snow that just came down for everyone else is thinking, say what? But when you get a chance, take a look at the current U.S. drought monitor. Or if you're a corn buyer and you don't want to feel sick, don't. But the most concerning piece of that map right now is the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, Western Iowa, parts of Kansas, particularly if you're worried about wheat. And what that picture is telling you is we need consistent rains to get us in a good position for an upcoming planting season. And if you really want to add another few bricks to your stress load, take a look at the drought outlook for January through April. Yeah, I'm sorry. And I'll say NOAA has warmer than usual temps in their forecast for the foreseeable future. And one thing to hopefully make you feel a little better is that they are anticipating above average precipitation in the eastern portion of the belt. And to help you step off that ledge, I'll say, well, you know, weather is a tricky thing to predict. And it's way early to suggest they won't cooperate this season. So, you know, that's your first timing piece. Your next element of timing, and this is going to be very critical and of interest to everybody in the market for the next few months here. And that next element of timing is supply availability. Now, South American crop was planted and therefore will be harvested late. First season crop for Brazil and pretty much the season for Argentina. That's our scenario. So the lateness of, and thinking about that mid-season crop for Brazil, it's you know, kind of that domino effect. The lateness of soy plantings in Brazil could hinder some expansion of acreage for corn on the second season crop. We'll just have to see how that plays out. Now, harvested late also impacts export availability. So now you're talking about more or less no major movement of corn and soybeans out of South America until mid-March, possibly a little later. And keep in mind, it's the safrinha crop, that mid-season crop in Brazil, that's usually utilized for most of Brazilian corn exports. So that first season crop is typically consumed internally, begins the rebuilding of their stocks, et cetera. But bottom line is that crop, that second season crop, probably won't be harvested until May and will likely be further behind this year as the, you know, kind of the cycle of late plantings began with the first crop and will spill over into mid crop. So normal circumstances, we see U.S. export demand start to trail off by March, late March. We could be in for a little longer period of peak demand this year around. And you know, and that's interesting because if you ever wonder how we have these seasons when futures peak out early in the summer, it's usually a combination of two things. You have a U.S. crop that looks good at that point, and Brazil is harvesting and or and marketing subsequently a big crop around that time. So probably going to be a little different this year. And then of course the proverbial icing on the cake is Brazil's third season crop, relatively new thing. But it's small, you know, somewhere around 1.5 million metric tons. So why is all this relevant? It means that global import demand will likely remain with the U.S. as much as 3 months past this normal seasonal timeline. So it could be pushing out towards the end of the second half of this year. And whereas normally we would see those export shipments start to decline in late March, we could, you know, see some of that stuff spill into June. So that means we'll be watching that export projection on the WASD sheet closely for the next 3 months or so before we can feel comfortable with the number that we see for that category for 2020-21. So that's the second one. All right. Last more one more element of timing. And I will give you a hint. I mentioned this at the very beginning. As it's very critical for buyers and sellers of grain. Last time
you mentioned,
The last thing of timing. You mentioned it at the beginning.
Yes. This is to see if you were paying attention.
This doesn't have to do with soccer, does it?
Nope, not at all. Wando has nothing to do with this.
He doesn't. Oh,
he does not.
Gosh.
I'm sorry.
Why don't you lay it on me?
Okay. Last one, market timing.
Yes.
So, we got a few things playing into that. First, farmer selling in South America. I would say this as an aside, just so people are aware. You and we've talked in on the podcast, webinars, et cetera, about Argentine farmers holding on to their crops, waiting for better prices, and kind of using that to hedge against devaluation of their currency. And Brazilian farmers, on the flip side, probably sold too early because they saw really good prices. That tripled since the fourth quarter of 2020 or the early part of the fourth quarter of 2020. So there's some of that. There's the farmer planting in Brazil, which again poses the opportunity for continued volatility in corn and soybean futures for at least the next 3 months or so, because the market will be watching every little movement how's the weather? What's their good to excellent rating? All those things that we've been watching add volatility to the market. We're up one day and down the other. That's going to continue. Another piece of timing: Chinese buying as a part of market timing. That has an instant impact.
Yes, it does.
And they've been doing a lot of buying this week. A lot of corn. I think we're over 2 million tons. Don't quote me on that. They've bought a lot of corn this week. I think they've bought some beans as well. Or maybe that's under unknown that everybody's assuming is China. But nevertheless, that's going to play into market timing, which brings us to where you stand as a buyer as far as timing is concerned. Few things to consider. And I'm going to give you your opportunities. So this is important. Your first opportunity comes with U.S. plantings. Now, I am not going to steal my own thunder now, as this is something I'm going to cover in next week's webinar on Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard. If you haven't signed up for it, check it out. But I will say that, it may not present the best opportunity to get some pressure on markets. All comes down to acreage. I'll say that much. And we'll take a look at what the possibilities are. But if we see strong acreage for the U.S. on soybeans and corn, that may make the market feel a little more comfortable and get us some pressure on futures. So that's the first kind of your first opportunity. Second opportunity comes in late April, early May. And that is all dependent on Mother Nature. So if the Brazilian crop seems to be outperforming expectations, and we feel like the losses to total production for the year won't be as significant as we've been hearing kind of thrown around with all the issues for this first crop, that could put some pressure on markets. So that's another window of opportunity. And then, of course, there's a big window of opportunity in late summer if two key things. U.S. sees significant acreage increases, and weather in the U.S. provides for great yields. I'm not even just going to say good. I'm going to say great.
Great.
So
right, that's fair.
177 plus bushels per acre on corn, 50 plus bushels per acre for soybeans. And maybe we can start, digging through or trying to rebuild some of these stocks in the U.S. And if Brazil has that good second season crop, then that will certainly give us some opportunity to get some pressure on prices. Question is, where will we be coming from by the time we get there? Now, I'm giving you the best case scenario.
Yes.
And for every best case scenario, there's also a worst case scenario.
That is correct.
And because of that, it will be critical to not only watch the market more closely than you have in the last few years, which I'm sure everyone is doing already. And as I can gauge by the number of questions and calls I'm having, it is also we always say, you know, there's normal and then there's the 1 or 2 years out of 10. I would say this is one of those 2 years out of 10 when you're not only going to be looking at what's going on with the weather and production over the next few months here, you're also going to be keeping an eye on those deferred contracts. Mm-hmm. Now, right now, the markets are inverted. And that's corn, soybean meal, wheat, soybean oil. It's basically telling you the need for grain in these products is now. But the higher the nearby contracts go, the higher the 21-22 contracts go, albeit at a slower rate. But that, my friends, may be opportunity. So the reality is we need great acreage and great yields in the U.S., better production for the second season in Brazil to start digging out of this. And there's no way that could go wrong, right? No way that could go wrong. It's going to be good.
No. It's all going to be good.
It's all going to be good.
Positive thoughts.
Positive.
Positive thoughts.
What is it? I can't think of it right now. The power,
Power of positive thinking.
Power of positive thinking. There you go. Thank you.
Are you kidding me? I would know that one.
Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to help me out with that.
Yeah.
So I just say, keep that in mind when looking at those deferred values. So 440 for December corn doesn't at all look appealing right now. And I'm sure $4 didn't look appealing 3 months ago. But if we, you know, were to trend up another, I don't know, 60, 75 cents a bushel over the next few months, which just based on what we've seen and the specs level of interest in the markets right now doesn't seem completely out of the question. Just remember, you'll need to lose all that value and some to get back, you know, to that 4 to 4.25. So just putting it all in perspective.
Good. Great.
And I've
sent
everybody into the weekend feeling great.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I do.
There's a lot of rain dances and a lot of power of positive thinking going on that I think has happened. And we're going to close it today by, I'll mention it again, our webinar series. So next Wednesday, February the 3rd at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be having a webinar on some key ingredients and key factors to be looking at as you enter into the 2021 year. If you're thinking about what should I be focusing my attention on for sugar, corn and corn sweeteners, edible oils, wheat and cocoa, come to the webinar. It's really easy to sign up for. Just go to makini-flavel.com. Little banner there. Click on it, register, and join us next Wednesday for that event. So, and also, you'll also start seeing, you're probably in your email, or you can check it on our website, our virtual spring seminar webinar on April 27th and 28th that'll be happening. And it's Back to the Future. No Marty's going to be there, but a lot of other other analysts talking about what to expect as we go into the future with this food revolution. COVID kind of gave us a hiccup, but what we found is a lot of focus is still on this food revolution and the speed that's happening. So look forward to that. Sign up. And, you know, Nicole, we did
what
something
about
special there.
Is Biff going to be there?
Biff will be there. Actually,
okay.
He did.
Awesome. That makes it worth it.
Okay. Somehow Marty didn't respond, but Biff did. Okay. So I'm not sure how those careers are going. But anyway, go ahead and check it out. And Nicole, I want you to have a wonderful weekend.
You too, Michael.
And everybody out there, have a wonderful weekend. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute and moment. And until next Wednesday, for some of you, take care, everybody.
See ya.
That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favel's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast.
If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favell.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.